Let me invite you this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be there momentarily. Hebrews chapter 12. And as you're turning there this morning, I want us to have this morning, there are two types of messages. There are doctrinal messages, and then there are practical messages. Messages that can, Lord willing, help us in our everyday Christian life. And this morning I want to, and for the next several mornings, on Sunday mornings, give us a few practical messages that can help us in our day-to-day Christian lives. And as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to think back over your life to anything that has perhaps caused you a continual hurt or maybe even a hatred in your heart toward a person or towards a thing. And perhaps as you think about that, perhaps you've looked for ways to get even with that person. Perhaps you've even felt like, well, you know, I just don't care. I know the Bible says, and I know God says to forgive, but I just don't care. I'm going to harbor this hurt. I'm going to harbor this hatred. And perhaps you've even felt depressed or even worse, maybe you've even, you know, wish death on that person. You know, they've gotten so under your skin, you've wished them harm. And perhaps, you know, this morning, your answer is yes. Perhaps your answer is no. Perhaps it's a combination of both yes and no. Yes, because you have hurts in your heart, but no, because you're sure you have forgiven it. Yes and no, because, well, it just keeps coming back and bothering you, and no matter what it is you seem to do, you just can't get rid of the hurt. You just can't get rid of the hatred. And the reason for that is, well, you just might be dealing with what the Bible refers to as a tree root problem. A tree root problem. You're there in Hebrews chapter 12, and notice there, if you would, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want you to notice that phrase there, verse number 12, lest any root of bitterness springing up. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach to us on this thought, getting to the root of the problem. Getting to the root of the problem. Bitterness is defined as sharp, pungent, bitter, biting to the taste. The theme, the idea, the word of bitterness appears four times in the New Testament. The Bible uses bitterness to refer to an internalized sinful anger. Bitterness is a sharp, it's a bitter emotion that is poisonous both to the spiritual well-being of both ourselves and those around us. We think this morning of examples of bitterness in the Bible. We think this morning of consequences of bitterness in the Bible. And really, one of the first people that come to mind in the Bible when it comes to someone being bitter is Jonah. And, you know, we know the story and the account of Jonah. Jonah was told to go to this people to preach repentance. And Jonah was so angry with them that he would rather run away And then when he did go to preach and people did get saved, he even got bitter at the fact that they would repent and the fact that they would get saved and change and whatever the case there may be. And so this morning I want us to look at the concept of forgiveness versus bitterness. And over the next several weeks I want us to see several things when it comes to bitterness. Number one this morning, bitterness affects our relationship with God. Bitterness affects our relationship with God. You say, how is that possible? Well, because bitterness, just by its very nature, is the opposite of forgiveness. Forgiveness is essential to the Christian life. Forgiveness is essential to Christianity. Forgiveness, as we read the Bible and as we study the Bible and we look at Scripture, we find very quickly that forgiveness is important to God. And how we deal with bitterness affects our relationship with God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8, the Bible says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so here we see that if we do not forgive, then our relationship with God is affected in a negative way. We see here from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 that our Father, God, He knoweth what things ye have need of even before we ask of them. I'm thankful this morning we serve a God that He knows our needs. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, before we even know that we have need of it. And He knows our needs. And what a wonderful assurance it is that our Heavenly Father, that our God, He knows our needs before we even pray. And He is just waiting for us to ask. But now here's the caveat. You see, if we do not forgive, then the Bible here says we fall into temptation. And there are several things we can fall into temptation of. We can fall into the temptation of, when we don't forgive, of starting to think that, that person does not deserve forgiveness. And may I just remind us this morning that all of us, we're all in the same boat this morning, because none of us deserves forgiveness. All of us here deserves to die a sinner's death and go to hell. But God, in His love, sent His Son to die on a cross to save us from our sins, to take us to heaven. And we did not deserve that. We did nothing to earn that, to deserve that. But God loved us enough to give us His Son. And so we need to be careful that we don't fall into the temptation of thinking just because someone has hurt us or wronged us or whatever the case may be, that, well, you know what? They don't deserve forgiveness. Because when we stop to think about it, we didn't deserve God's forgiveness, and yet He forgave us anyway. But not only do we fall into that temptation to think they're not deserving of forgiveness, but we fall into the temptation of sin. And we allow sin to take root, and we allow sin to take hold in our life. And then we see here that if we don't forgive, then the Bible tells us that God will not forgive us. It's really as simple as that. You see, it behooves us then to examine our hearts and to see if there is bitterness, see if there's a retaliatory spirit, to see if there's a lack of forgiveness on our part toward others. Because if we're ever going to have right fellowship with God, who we cannot see, then it is predicated upon right fellowship with those around us that we can see. Because how can we say that we have a right relationship with a God we cannot see if we don't have a right relationship with people that we can see? You see, it can't be done. It can't happen. Take your Bibles and go over there to Matthew chapter 18. Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 21, down through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse number 21, down through the end of the chapter, verse 35. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 70. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." And so here in Matthew chapter 18, we see the thrust of this parable was, again, the importance of forgiveness. We see that Peter comes to him and says, how many times should I forgive somebody that wrongs me? Seven times? And the Lord says, no, not seven times, but 70 times 70. In other words, there is no limit to forgiveness. If they come and they ask for forgiveness, then you ought to forgive them. We think this morning of our Lord on the cross. And see, sometimes we run into, again, this idea of falling into temptation. Well, they don't deserve forgiveness. And then we think, well, they haven't even asked for forgiveness, so how can I forgive them? Well, remember, Christ, when he's on the cross, what was one of his final sayings? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then we see here the parable of the unjust steward, and he is forgiven his debt, but then he goes to somebody that owes him a debt. And instead of, for lack of a better term, instead of paying it forward and forgiving the debt, he takes the one who owes him a debt and he throws him in the prison. And in verse 34, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so the one who had been forgiven, well, now he is being put to the tormentors till he should pay. And then we have this key verse, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not one, or not every one, his brother, his trespasses. Again, we see clearly implied is that God will not forgive one with a heart that is hardened against another. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And so we see here that if we ever hope to be reconciled to God, we must first be reconciled to others. This relationship, this earthly human relationship, it has to be right. It has to be reconciled if we're ever going to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Romans 2:4, the Bible tells us, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see, this morning, we serve a God that has been good to us. We serve a God this morning that has been patient to us. We serve a God this morning that has been long-suffering to us. I mean, think about it. How many times in any given week do we sin? How many times in any given week do we mess up? And God is still good to us. God is still patient towards us. God is still long-suffering to us. He still loves us. He still forgives us. I mean, he is, you know, we often say He is the God of second chances, and He is the God of second chances. But not only is He the God of second chances, He's the God of third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. As many times as we need to come to Him and ask for forgiveness, He is there ready to forgive. All we have to do is ask for His forgiveness, and He will do just that. He will forgive. And so how couldn't we be the same to others? Take your Bibles and go over, because we need to see these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Now here's the key verse, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, here's what happens when we forgive, when we refuse to forgive. And here's what happens when we allow bitterness to come into our life. We allow Satan to get the advantage on us. We give place to Satan. We give place to the devil. And then before we know it, bitterness is setting in. And that seed of bitterness is planted. And according to the Word of God, we now have a sin problem, because now we have bitterness that is infesting our lives. And so the very first thing we see regarding bitterness this morning is bitterness affects our relationship with God. And then for this morning, the second and final thought regarding bitterness is that bitterness reveals our spiritual level. Bitterness reveals our spiritual level. Psalm 119 and 165, the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You ever meet somebody and they just seem offended by everything? I mean, you talk to him, and you say, "Man, that blue sky sure is nice today." And they say, "No, it looks cloudy. It looks like it's going to rain." And they're offended by the nice weather. Or, you know, and you just fill in the blank, but they're offended by everything. Well, here, according to the scriptures, great peace have they which love thy law. In other words, that those that love the Bible, they're going to have great peace within themselves. And guess what? Nothing's going to offend them. Nothing's going to get to them. And nothing is, you know, it's just going to basically, for lack of a better term, it's just going to roll down their back. It's just going to roll right off of them because they love God. They love His Word. And nothing is going to offend them. But we see here that if we're offended by others, then the Bible says here that we do not love God's law. We do not love the Bible. Mark chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Again, we see this morning that if we do not forgive, God will not forgive us. But we can praise the Lord this morning that there is hope. There is hope. Take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 this morning. First John chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, verses 9 through 11. First John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And so we're talking right now about bitterness revealing our spiritual condition. So there's one of two possibilities when it comes to bitterness. Number one is that first verse we talked about, not loving God's word. We're saved, but we're so hurt and we're so filled with hatred, we just neglect what God says. We just neglect what the Bible says, and we're not spiritually mature where we need to be. We have a little bit of growing left to do. And sometimes we are that way. Sometimes we do allow bitterness in. Sometimes we do allow that hurt to stay in and fester and so forth. And we need to ask the Lord's help to break us of that bitterness and to help us grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we see the second possibility. And if we've refused to forgive, then we raise the question of whether we've been truly regenerated or not. Whether or not we're truly Christians to begin with. Because what these verses are saying here in layman's terms is that a person who has never themselves experienced forgiveness they may have trouble forgiving others. And it's important that you know that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But either way, whether you're just not there spiritually yet, or whether you're not yet saved, there's hope, and His name's Jesus. There's hope, and His name is God this morning. You see, if you're dealing with a hurt or a hatred or bitterness, you can ask Jesus to help you with that this morning, and He'll do just that. And if you're here this morning and you know not Christ as your Savior, you can ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven someday when you die. But you see, this morning, bitterness is like the roots of a tree. You think this morning as an illustration. The roots of a tree, they grow down deeper and deeper in their search for water. And they can get so deep that sometimes they break into a water line. And this causes great damage as the water line then becomes blocked and the flow of water through it may stop completely. You see, God's word, this Bible, is often represented by water. And the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, how deep are the roots of bitterness? Are they so deep that the water line is broken? Do you have trouble listening to or reading God's word and understanding it? Does it seem like sometimes maybe your prayers, they don't reach to heaven? Do you maybe question the genuineness of your salvation? Well, it might just be a root problem of bitterness, a lack of forgiveness that could be causing the problem. But whatever the problem this morning, you say you need just a little bit of help being spiritually mature to deal with that bitterness, to deal with that hurt, to deal with that hatred, you can ask Jesus for that help. And He'll help take away that bitterness. He'll help take away that hurt. He'll help take away that hatred. Perhaps this morning you have trouble forgiving because you yourself have never been forgiven. Perhaps this morning you don't know Christ as your Savior. You can know Him today before you leave this church. And you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Then you can help Him to help you with that bitterness. You can help Him to help you with that hurt and that hatred. And that way Satan doesn't get that advantage. Satan doesn't get that place, that hold in your life. But whatever it is this morning, don't have a life that is defined by bitterness. Give it to the Lord and help, and let Him help you through that bitterness this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together to our feet.